So I love systems because they save time and things get done if they're in my calendar and if we have a system.
Welcome to the closing table. You've found a mastermind for real estate, mortgage, and pros from related industries with a commitment to reach more people, provide more value, and create a genuine rapport with clients, partners, and teammates. This is where the deal is done. It's time to take your seat at the closing table with your host, Brian Weiss. Right.
So I'm very excited today to have a conversation with my personal coach and somebody who's proven to be very successful in the coaching space. And before that was very, very successful in the origination space. Has coached also hundreds of real estate agents over the years to success. Cindy Ertman is here. So I want to give some stats and I don't want to miss anything. So I'm going to check my notes here. But so Cindy Ertman is a CEO and founder of The Defining Difference. It's a success-based coaching company that coaches groups, small groups online, and has just done an amazing job. She's got a ton of success stories, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of success stories. She has been named the top 100 most influential mortgage executives in America for many years. Also one of the top 100 mortgage loan originators for over 10 years. So she speaks from experience. She coaches from experience. And I can say that I personally benefited from that experience in coaching. Cindy's goal is to help her clients get more out of life by making powerful, intentional choices to propel their income and their careers. Thanks for jumping on, Cindy.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here with you, Brian. This will be fun.
Yes, yes. And I think it will be. And I think, you know, a great sort of topic or lead in would be to discuss business development ideas, right? I mean, you've certainly created a lot of content. You've had a lot of success with those ideas, created a lot of content for your coaching company with those proven strategies. So I'd love to run through some of that this morning. And we all want to grow a little bit. The market is goofy. It has been for a while. But the interesting thing is there is business to be done. I mean, there's the industry hasn't stopped. The way you talk to a lot of people, they're acting as if the entire industry has just collapsed. But I actually have some interesting stats that play into my point. And then I do want to hear from you. But so I've got some volume numbers. So overall housing volume in 2019 was, so pre-pandemic, 5.34 million homes sold in 2019. 2020 was 5.64. 21 was 6.12. 2021 was the big year. It popped up. 2022, 5.9. 2023, they're expecting 6 million. So, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, there's a lot of business out there. I think our industry is getting a little goofy because so many people entered the business for 2.5 years. And now, you know, there's a lot of people holding on, probably a lot of people that probably should go back to doing something else. And, you know, that cuts the pie up for the rest of us. Now, that said, there are people having the best years of their lives right now. So would love for you to share your thoughts on, you know, what they're doing activity-wise and what you're recommending activity-wise to your clients.
Well, it's a big topic. I just got off leading a training this morning for my Millionaire Mortgage Club group. And that was exactly the topic. I wanted to start this new series very, very tactically, because I think at the end of the day, if people aren't super intentional about their activity right now, they're not going to make it. They won't be here at the end of 2023 because companies can't carry dead weight anymore. Unfortunately, the cost is just too great. So first of all, Brian, in this last year, it's been really interesting to me to not only see the struggle from a production standpoint, but where that really starts is from a mindset perspective. And I have never seen more people struggle with trying to maintain any sort of positive momentum and energy around their mindset. We had a conversation about it this morning on my call, because even some of the top producers that I coach, I mean, $200 million a year producers were calling me last year just going, oh my gosh, Cindy, like the wheels have just fallen off my brain and I'm a mess. And I realized that how much pain was like just below the surface of everybody. If I'm getting called by $200 million a year producers that aren't worried about money, they've made plenty of money, they don't want to call their realtors. They feel somehow they've been responsible from the market and all that, you know, the crazy hikes and rates and not being able to always explain it, having higher rates than some of the banks. It's really taken its toll. One of my clients this morning said, you know, I just had a super jumbo loan that I poured into for the last 6 months and it just blew up. And they went, well, it didn't blow up. They went to a bank to get a lower rate. And he goes, he's just like devastated because he's worked so hard and there's not that many transactions right now with low inventory. So I think the first key thing to really look at is, you know, we got to start with this first because we don't have the ability to confidently go out and integrate new tactics and strategies. And I'll give you a few of those as well. But until we like get our head straight. So, you know, you and I've talked about morning practices. I talked about morning practices with all of my clients, but at the end of the day, most people still don't have a morning practice because they're too busy. And look, it's hard. Like I raised three kids. I know when you're raising children, you're running a business and it's hard to make everything work, but I am somebody that's very intentional about my life and my business. So, and I'm a late night person. So I have an alarm that's set on my phone every night at 10:30. It goes off, which tells me whatever I'm doing to stop, go get ready for bed. So I'm in bed by 11 o'clock. Because left to my own devices, it'd be 12:30 or 1 because I'd just keep working.
So most people set an alarm to get up. You set an alarm to go to bed.
Well, I do both. But, you know, but I set an alarm to go to bed because, like, a perfect example last night, I was working till about 9 o'clock. And then I thought I want to shut my brain off and go watch some mindless television. And I was watching a series and the series ended and it was like 10:25 or something. And I wanted to watch the next one, right? Because now I'm caught up in it. And I look at my phone. I'm like, crap, my alarm's going to go off in 5 minutes. Okay, forget it. Turn the TV off. Normally, I would have just kept going. But it has helped me tremendously. And that going to bed an hour earlier for me has been very helpful. But that's an intentional choice because I want to make sure I can get up early enough. My team even knows, they manage my calendar. Like my morning practice is a non-negotiable for me. It's a 1 hour, you know, concentrated block of time that I do my gratitude. And that's usually for me in the form of a gratitude prayer. And I get granular, you know, I go deep on anything and everything. I'm very grateful for my house. You know, I'm grateful for a safe home. I'm grateful that I put on a new roof a couple of years ago during our SoCal rainstorms and my three children. And so, and my business and my amazing clients. And there's just so much I have to be grateful for. So I start there every single morning after my cup of coffee. Then I go into my meditation. And right now I'm doing guided meditation. My favorite app right now is Insight Timer. But, you know, if you would have told me 15 years ago that a type A number one mortgage originator, you know, could be do meditation, I would have told you you're crazy. And most of my clients tell me I'm crazy until I get them doing it. And then they start to realize, oh, maybe there's something to this quieting of the mind and allowing yourself to be more creative and calming the nervous system and helps you let things go much easier and get focused on the right activities. So I do a 12 to 15 minute meditation every single morning. Two mornings a week, I hired a physical fitness trainer. So I do that on Mondays and Fridays because I hate working out. Again, I need accountability. We all need it, but I know I'm not going to work out. I will say I'm going to, but I will not work out because I don't like to work out unless I have a coach. So I have my accountability coach who works out with me twice a week. And then I do commit to one other day a week, but then I have probably 15 books on my nightstand or, and I keep a list of like videos that I want to watch or trainings that I signed up for. I do a lot of online trainings. I'm doing a training right now for how to use my iPhone more effectively for video. So I'm taking an online training class. I sign up for like one a week, but I do education every morning. So that's my morning practice. It starts my day in a place where you can bring pretty much anything at me and it will give me a place to create like balance because, you know, there's just a lot of stress under people's world. And I think really did start with COVID because COVID changed the world as we know it. And I think it's really still created a block around why people won't get out into the world, not out of fear of COVID, but they won't get out into the world because they lost that confidence and that practice to get in front of other people.
And we really lost human a lot connection, of our, right? Maybe the 100%. Human connection became a little less necessary through the whole thing.
Right. And the other thing is everybody was so busy in the mortgage industry in 2020, 2021, no one marketed because there was no time, no need. Mm-hmm. But I had a client yesterday, Brian, she's a $130 million a year producer here in Southern California. And she had her best year ever in 2022. And I said, why do you think that was? She said, because in 2020 and 2021, when everybody else stopped calling on their referral partners, I called my partners every single day and stayed in front of them. And now I'm reaping the benefit from that.
Fantastic. And
I thought, you know, that's profound.
Yep.
But a couple of things that we talked about today, I think tactically, loan officers right now have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And I've had a coach my entire career. You don't even want to know what I pay my coach right now. It's obscene. Mm-hmm. It's not a mortgage coach, but he's a business coach. But the reality is I wouldn't be where I'm at today without it, because it helped me think bigger, helped me expand my ideas of possibility, helped push me to get outside my comfort zone in a very big way, helped me do things that scare the heck out of me, which are what creates growth. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if we don't push ourselves to go beyond our own limitations, we can stay status quo. But I look at it this way, Brian, it's like, we got one life and we got one shot at this thing. Mm-hmm. And I want to make it count.
Yep.
And I absolutely, you know, statistically, based on the average age that we live, when we're born, we have about 30,000 mornings that, you know, we get to benefit from. Mm. And at age 54, we have 10,000 mornings left. And I don't know about you, but I want those mornings to count. So yes, I'm going to use every single one. I don't want to lose a day. I want to be able to be the most productive I can during my work hours. And I want to be able to love my life when I'm doing something fun for me or with my family or with my friends. So I'm very intentional, but I believe that nobody makes us great. You know, if we want to be great, we've got to make the choice and make the decision to be great. And right now we've got to do things with very tactical strategies to get in front of more people. Because if you used to do business with 10 agents, you now need 20 to 30 agents. We've got to widen our pool. One of my clients is in a very high net worth area and he's been doing super jumbo loans. Well, that is a tough market right now, going up against the big banks. And so I said, we've got to build you another market. You know, you got to get outside your comfort zone. We got to pick another sub-market and help you develop a secondary or a third market. And some of my clients that are having the most success have gone into other states and they've built second and third markets. And one of my clients is in San Diego, 20% of his business is out of Texas, 30% of his business is out of Washington, state of Washington. And that's been a great move for him. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and it's always been said, we've heard it multiple times, that there's riches in niches, right? But that can all, there's a downside to that too, right? We want to focus. We can focus on a niche, but also maintain that diversity so we can produce as the industry changes, right?
100%. And if you have a niche, like if a lender has a particular niche or product niche, I mean, niches are amazing, you know, and I think it really does make such a huge difference when you've got a niche, because it gives you something to talk about. If someone has construction lending, or if they're doing reverse mortgages, or if they're a VA specialist, it's great to have a niche to be able to go out and make you an expert in a particular area. But, you know, a couple of the things strategically, Brian, that I see that, you know, there's some low hanging fruit that's right underneath our nose that people just kind of bypass. And one of my hot buttons in coaching for a long time has been, a lot of my clients do a lot of purchase business. And they've got the listing agent like right there sitting next to them going through this entire transaction together for the next 30 days. And they just don't tap in to build a relationship with the person that's right in front of them. Mm-hmm. And so in my business, I had created the 10 easy steps to connect with your listing agent, because I know for certain that if I didn't have a process and a system for everything I do, it won't get done. Like I have great ideas constantly, but I'm an implementer. And having great ideas is not enough. It's got to transfer to, you know, pen to paper, or at least to be able to, you know, type it up in a Word doc or get it onto an Excel spreadsheet and build a system around it. So my 10 steps to develop a relationship with a listing agent It's just a very simple process, but it is a system and a process. So every time I had a purchase transaction, it was easy because we would just look at the system and it was built out, right? So, and I did tweak this recently because our technology has changed. When we were, you know, if I was doing a pre-qualification or a pre-approval letter, mostly for a buyer, I would always call the listing agent as soon as I submitted that pre-qual letter to the buyer's agent. And it would introduce myself. We got to the point where we were doing mostly formal approvals. We were doing TBD approvals to get the borrower formally approved because I was in Manhattan Beach, California, and about 40% of our market was all cash. Mm-hmm. So we were forced to be able to go up against all cash. And it's still that case today. So it makes it very tough if you need a loan and you're going up against multiple all cash buyers. So that became one of our niches, was to do an advanced approval for most of our clients. But my job was to call the listing agent to say, I want to make sure you know what you're looking at. This is not a pre-qual letter. This is full-blown loan approval. It's gone through underwriting and they are formally approved for this loan. So we can go up against all cash. Absolutely no problem. This is an advanced approval loan. It's already tied up in a bow. So that was like first step. Today, I don't recommend calling the listing agent. Today, I recommend you text the listing agent a video. And we started having all of our clients do that in 2021 and 22. And it made such a difference because now the listing agent can feel you and your energy. And just a very simple video gives a little bit of credibility about you as a lender, like what's your experience level, a little bit of credibility to the buyer's agent, because maybe the listing agent doesn't have a relationship with the buyer's agent, but really edifying them. And then obviously talking about some of the highlight points to the buyer that are appropriate to be able to let them know that, hey, this buyer got us all the documentation on time. They're so excited about this house. They would be amazing neighbors for the neighborhood. Your neighbors would be so excited to have them. They're wonderful people. They've got two young children, you know, whatever you can share that really highlights your buyers. Because look, people are making decisions, yes, monetary decisions, but I live in a great neighborhood. If I'm selling my house, I would want to sell to people that are going to continue to make it a great neighborhood for my neighbors, because I love my neighbors. And then also just, you know, to let them know that you are completely available. One of the things that Tim Broadhurst shared several times that he did, and I love the strategy, is the minute you connect with that listing agent, you put their name in your phone with the property address they're writing an offer on. So the minute that agent calls you, you know exactly who's calling. So you can pick up the phone and go, "Hi, Bob, great to hear from you," right? So
that's a great idea. And oftentimes you get a call from an agent that references the property by the property address, and you're
right.
You're scratching your head going, "God, which one is that? And who's the buyer's agent?" And if
their number's not in your phone, you're not even going to know who's calling in, right? So that's part of our process now too, is to be able to enter that agent's phone number and the property address so that it's right front and center when that person calls and you do everything in your power to pick up that call, right? Yep. And then, you know, writing a handwritten note to the listing agent, "Hey, just want to say," particularly if the client gets the offer accepted, "so excited that, you know, the Smiths, you know, got the property secured on John Street. They're so excited about this new home for them. We're so excited to have the opportunity to work with you, Brian. We're here with you every step of the way. We're excited to show you our 10-point milestone communication plan because we're really proud of the way that we communicate with you during the transaction. You'll never need to call us to get status. We're right on top of it in terms of giving you every status update. So we look forward to working with you. If you have any questions, we're here for you. Here's my number."
Yep.
And just starting that process of staying in touch with the agent and creating that kind of, wow, like this is impressive. If they've gotten a text video from you, we had last year, it was happening right and left once people integrated the strategy. Listing agents were actually texting him going, "This is impressive. I have a new buyer. Can I call you this afternoon?" It was like happening the very same day they sent the video.
I love that pivot there because it's long since been a best practice of mine to call the listing agent, but people don't want to be interrupted with a phone call anymore, especially if they don't know you. It's different when people know you, but if they don't know you, you know, first of all, they don't recognize the number. They don't even pick up. But if they don't know you, it's just an interruption. So you can drop a video, accomplish the same thing, save time, and not get sent to voicemail.
Well, and look, video is just a different element, right? I mean, you can see somebody's energy, you can see their passion for what they do, particularly if you've got longevity in this business, you can share a little bit about your credibility. That was just really, really incredible. One of the other strategies that I thought was so great, one of my clients actually up in the Pacific Northwest did this, so we've now put it into our guide, but when she closes the transaction, she goes to find where she can leave a 5-star review for that listing agent. And if she can't find a place to lodge the 5-star review, she calls the listing agent and said, hey, I just researched, I wanted to leave you a 5-star review, but I couldn't find a link. Do you have a link where I could leave you a review? And a lot of times they didn't have. So they, you know, she would say, hey, look, I think you should really set up a link so that people can leave you reviews. But as soon as you've got it, I'd love to leave you a 5-star review. You are an amazing agent to work with. Really appreciated the opportunity. And then she would call ultimately and say, hey, I'd love to get together with you for 30 minutes, learn a little bit more about you. At the very least, I'd love to know other great realtors. I love helping my realtors be more successful and helping them build and grow their business. Love to just get together with 30 minutes and learn a little bit more about you and your business. And generally, if you've done a phenomenal job, I just talked to a client yesterday. She's getting about 90% of those meetings with listing agents because wow. They've just had an experience in working with you. And if you go those extra miles for your listing agent, you'll be shocked how much more of an opportunity you're creating right in front of you. And most people just don't put any time and energy into building that relationship.
Well, and again, it's one of those things that, you know, I've always done it, but never to this degree, right? It's lenders do it, but when you take it to a whole new level, you've taken it to a whole new level. If you're doing it at that level, that's how you get people's attention. Yeah, see, it's not just
it's
one
a system, 10 easy steps to secure the listing agent. Like everything did. We memorialized it, right? And we had a process like, and I'll be honest, the thank you note, like I wrote the first one. After that, my assistant was in charge of writing the thank you note because she just wrote my words, right? Mm-hmm. We would send a book. I had a little book that I would send and we just put on the inside of the book, you know, really love this book. Hope you'll find it valuable. Great to meet you, Cindy Ertman. Mm-hmm. And she would send that off because we had a system. So I love systems because they save time and things get done if they're in my calendar and if we have a system. And if not, they're just good ideas that fall through the cracks.
Well, and it does two things, right? It helps you to remember all the steps. If you've got 10 steps, it's not written down, you'll never remember. Exactly. The other thing is when you hire, as you build your team, it's a piece of paper, a document you can give to your teammates and now they can execute without you having to go through a big, long explanation and recreate the wheel. I know you're a big systems person and I am not, frankly. So that's why you and I work really well together because I'm learning how to be more systematized.
Well, it makes it easier. And look, I do feel that sometimes people make this business too hard. It's easy to make this really complicated. And there's parts of it, particularly about building and growing a business, that don't have to be so tough. There's really simple strategies that work very effectively. Anyone that knows me knows like my number one thing. And I really, really recommend if you do not have a CRM system, if any mortgage originator or realtor for that matter, does not have a CRM, a database management system that they know how to use and use consistently, you're just missing the boat. I've coached so many people 30 years into the business that don't have a viable CRM system. And it was responsible every single year for 20 to 30% of my business. Because again, Brian, it was a system. In my calendar on the 1st and the 15th of every month, it said Cindy to send realtor email, Cindy to send past client database email. So the other requirement I had in my own CRM systems is I had to be able to write a personal email at the click of a button and send to my 4,500 past clients. So I could go in and write that email. I mean, I would say with writing the email, doing the preview just to make sure it was all written properly before I'd click send, and I customized it to everybody's name, right? So it looks very personal. Mm-hmm. But I could do that within 15 minutes without question. And on the 1st and 15th of every month, I wrote a quick email to my realtor database. I never marketed to more than 100 realtors. That was just me. I talked to one of my clients yesterday. She's got 2,000. I'm like, okay, how many of those 2,000 do you really work with? Like about 20. I'm like, yeah. So I chose that 100 was my number. I had four databases that I was religious to communicating. I had my Cindy Ertman closed loan database, mm-hmm. past clients. I had a business database. So CPAs, business managers, attorneys, anybody that was in the business realm that mm-hmm. wasn't a realtor went into my business database, mm-hmm. my financial planners. I had my realtor database and I had my friends and family database. Mm-hmm. When my kids were little, I had my sports teams database because I logged all the numbers of all the parents of all the sports teams my kids were on over the years. So I got rid of that over time. But I religiously maintained those four databases. And that was part of my non-negotiable marketing plan for sure.
Yep. And I love that. I love the detail that you're throwing in here because I do think most people at this stage of the game have a CRM. But they don't really use it. Like they use it as a catalog of name and numbers, but you're actually going next level again, which is proactively dripping on them in a systematic way, in a timed way, and leveraging it for better for business.
Well, you know, the other thing is many people use it and have it on auto drip campaigns, but the reality is we know when we're on somebody's drip campaign.
Yes.
No, like the only drip I used was the happy birthday campaign because people like that. But I didn't use drips, but that was just Cindy Ertman because I thought it was too impersonal.
Yes.
And I know like I'm on my CPA's drip campaign. At least his are funny. I'm on my financial planner's drip campaign. I don't ever open his emails because I know it's a drip campaign. He's not mm-hmm. writing. I'm sending him out. The best email, Brian, I'll just share this with you all because I tested a theory one time. And I love testing things. That's how I became a top originator. And if it worked and I got traction, then I would put it into a system. I was a branch manager for a $1.2 billion branch. So I would roll it out to the branch. We had 32 LOs working for me in our highlight. And then I was on the faculty of Loan Toolbox for 17 years. So then I would roll it out nationally. And my partner would get so mad that I was sharing all of our top secrets, but I'm like, 90% of the people aren't going to do anything with it anyway. And if I can help people, I want to be able to do that.
Execution's the key. People don't execute.
But the number one best email I ever sent is in the subject line. It said, checking in. All it said, dear Brian, you know, just wanted to check in to see how you're doing with your home and the mortgage. No rush to get back to me. Just been thinking about you and would love to connect and talk a little bit about your home and your mortgage and see how you and your family are doing. Hope to hear from you soon. Mm-hmm. Best, Cindy. I got 9 loans off that email and 59 inquiries back. And I had people call me within the next 10 minutes. Then I tested it for one of the guys sitting next to me because I was coaching him. And he got, I think, over 20 loans out of that email because it was personal. And I got things like, oh my gosh, we just had to put our dog down, or the kids, we just took our daughter to college, or we're empty nesters. And it was just this beautiful communication back and forth. But that took me 5 minutes to write and send. And it was the simplest. How are you? Just want to check in to see how you're doing with your home and your mortgage.
Yep. I love it because it was a personal note. It wasn't a email template, you know, interest rate update, like they get from 5 other people. It was a personal note. As far as they knew, it was just to them, not your entire database. Brilliant. Brilliant. And so on that vein, what if we took your prior idea of texting a video and put that a la BombBomb or whatever system, put that into a personal email? Although I guess it would have to be an evergreen video. You can't change the name on every video, but it's scaling.
For right. sure. But right. yeah, I think anything that shows communication, like I was talking to one of my clients this morning and, you know, it's like, and she's a top producer. She runs a branch. She has 30 loan officers working for her and she coaches for my company. And we were talking and she said, yeah, Cindy, she said, it was so funny yesterday. She goes, I really had like 2 hours where I didn't have a whole lot to do. And she said, and she goes, I thought about it for a minute. I went, so she texted a text to herself with a message. She got the message kind of clear and it was just a check-in message. And she texted 100 realtors over the next 2 hours, because she didn't have a whole lot planned to do, she texted 100 realtors this message saying, "Hey, it's Sue Meitner. Just wanted, you know, I know it's spring. The market's starting to get a little more fuel behind it. I know we still have a shortage of inventory, but you know what? I just really would love to connect with you again. I'd love to know what we can do to help and support you in your business. We're really here to help. I'm around all weekend. If you want to get together and chat, I'm here to support you in any way possible, and I'd love to connect." That was it. And she said she had about, she had 21 responses, and they had immediate communication. People saying, "Oh my gosh, so glad you reached out. I'm working with the buyer right now. I'll call you shortly." But she got activity going just from taking that downtime and not wasting it away and being productive with it. And that's the difference between someone who's setting intention about how they want to build and grow their business. Because one woman in my training today, she goes, "Did you not have any fear? Like, you making all these calls would just like scare the living daylights out of me. And I take things personally. And if they told me they had 5 loan officers that they work with and not to call them anymore," she goes, "I'd be devastated." And I said, "Well, of course I have fear. We all have fear. But the reality is, if you call 10 people, there might be 2 people that need what you have to say." Mm-hmm. Those are 2 people that you might be able to get a message or a meeting with that if you never called, you would have never had the opportunity. The other 8, you never met with anyway. So like, you didn't lose a thing. But you've got to get over the fear, because the fear is not real. There's really nothing to the fear. I've had agents hang up on me, but not in like 30 years, but in my early career, because I used to read from a script and I didn't have the same language I have today. Mm-hmm. But I had people hang up on me, but like, yeah, that's painful. I did cry my first day in the mortgage industry because of it, but
I think we all did.
Yeah. But you know, and I've had the old, "Hey, I, you know, thanks, but no thanks. I've got lenders I've worked with for the last 20 years. I don't need another lender," to which I reply, "You know, I love that you have committed relationships, because I have such great committed relationships with my referral partners. So I love that. And I honor that. So I'm not going to hound you, but I tell you what I would love from you. I'd love to swing by your office or swing by your house or grab coffee or spend just 5 minutes. I'd love to give you a couple of tips that I have on marketing to help my clients build and grow their business. And if you ever need a second choice lender, or if you ever have a loan that blows up in the middle for any unforeseen reason, I'd just love to be in your back pocket as a go-to in case there's a problem with your first choice lender." Mm-hmm. And they usually say, okay, because it's just a human request. "Look, yeah, I know I'm not going to be first choice, but I'd love to be your back pocket lender or your emergency lender if you ever have a problem."
It takes away all the pressure, right? It takes away 100%. All the pressure. Because sales is pressure. If we can just connect with people on a human level, it takes away all that sales pressure.
Well, look, a no to me was never no forever. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's my biggest mantra as an originator. And people used to laugh at me, but it's still true to this day and pretty much everything I do. If I was told no, like an underwriter told me, "No, we can't do this loan," or, you know, whatever, I was a good originator. Like, I was solid. I wouldn't throw junk against the wall. Like, I had a purpose for why I knew I could get that loan approved. So I always knew if someone told me no, I either asked the wrong person or I asked the wrong question. I'd reframe my question, or I'd get to a different person that had a higher level of authority to understand the components of why this loan should be a yes. And I never submitted a loan I didn't close. So that's a pretty good track record.
That's a great track record, especially for as many loans as you've done. So, wow, there's so much to unpack here. I'm actually taking notes. This felt like a coaching session. So some of the highlights for me were to first take care of your mindset. And that goes by setting up your day and starting your day with intention. And starting your day starts the night before by going to bed at a decent hour, right? I mean, I love that, and something I struggle with. I am not a night person. So my downfall is falling asleep on the couch at 9 p.m. Yeah, getting exactly. A good night's rest, right? So I've got to change some habits there. But systems and processes, this is something you and I talk about a lot, but just having systems dialed in so A, we don't forget. B, when we hire teammates, it's easier to offload activities. The listing agent targeting plan, I love that. It's something we all do to some degree. Some, I guess, don't do it at all. But again, having a system and a dialed in plan to separate ourselves and build new relationships with people that are attached to us for a month. It's perfect. A handwritten note, increasing our availability, leaving 5-star reviews for the listing agent. It's brilliant. What a great way to get attention. So I thank you for all of that. Do you have any last minute tips? And or maybe I think it'd be great for people. I know you coach primarily in the mortgage space, but I know you coached agents in your origination career. So on this podcast, they're agents and loan officers. But if some of the lenders want to reach out to you, like where would they reach you and where would they learn more about your coaching if they want?
The best thing to do, there's two ways. You can either just go to cindyertman.com, which is my website, CindyErtman. Mm-hmm. At the top of the website, it just says schedule a strategy call. And the reason I recommend that people do it, even if they're not committed to coaching on any level, is that it's a real coaching call. I only have a couple of people that lead those calls and they are coaches, full blow. And they are actually going to dive into your business, find out what your challenges are, give you some strategies. I had a woman who did a strategy call last week and she emailed me because I happen to know her. She goes, that call just changed my life. Like, you know, it was about a 40-minute call that gave her some really key things to help her overcome some blocks that she had going on in her own business. So I think that's a great way to do it because then you can learn about the programs, but also get actual coaching out of it. And then our info@cindyertman.com. If you just have any questions or want to learn more, that goes to my entire team, including myself. And we check it constantly. So if anyone has any questions or wants to connect to learn more, that's another great way if you're not interested in scheduling a strategy call.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Cindy. And you packed a lot in this 40 minutes here. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Brian. So great to be with you guys. I look forward to talking to you soon. Have a great day.
Thanks again. Bye now.
Follow The Closing Table everywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you found value here, invite a colleague or friend who could benefit from a visit too. To connect with Brian, visit connectwithbw.com. We'll see you next time at The Closing Table with Brian Weiss.